It sure looked like Jeff was prepared. Good job, Jeff. Appreciate that singing. Jumping in there. It's good to see you. I was fearful that we wouldn't have this many here tonight. We went through, Kathy wrote down the names of the folks that are usually here on Sunday morning that was missing this morning. Came up with 27 of our folks that were out for whatever reason, and majority of that being sick. And if you put that number with what we had, we surpassed our goal. So appreciate the good cooking that we had this morning. The amount of food was phenomenal, and it was good food and a lot of good dishes. I meant to get back and taste some of the pork that Elvis fixed and didn't make it. I got busy talking and didn't make it, but she's going to save me some, right? Going to have some of that. So it's a barbecue pork, and there was just a lot of good food, and I just wish I'd felt like eating more of it, more desserts than the person could eat. But it was great. We appreciate all of you that jumped in there and provided that food for our good number of visitors here. We had many visitors, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful and appreciative of the fact that you took the time to invite and get folks here. And we've got some folks we're going to be able to visit with and communicate with. And we so appreciate the work that you did in sharing the gospel, and particularly our young people doing the same thing. It's so good to see us working together and doing those things, and I truly commend you for the efforts you put forth. Tonight, I want to share with you in the few moments of our study something that is very significant, and I hope that it sets the course for this year, because we're going to be talking about aiming in 2019, and we're going to set targets to aim at. That's what goals are about, producing those targets which we can reach for and we can shoot at and consider as a direction that we're going to be going. And so tonight, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15 as we study together. And we'll begin reading in about verse 14. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Paul writes, and he says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren." And that's important. And one of the things that attracted us to the Marshfield congregation was your faith that you have in God. And we are confident that the faith that you have working together in love can do what God wants done. And I'm excited about the fact that this congregation is concerned about the lost, concerned about loving each other, and concerned about the truth and holding firm to that truth. And you're willing to outreach, as you proved so much this morning. And Paul says, "I am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me, my God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." So here Paul is laying out his work. I'm a servant. That's what that word minister means. A servant of the Gentiles. Doing what? Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Then verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I also should build on another man's foundation. Clearly, Paul says, I have an aim. And that aim is to preach the gospel. Now, most of you all are familiar with hunting. We've got some lady hunters in the congregation. We got some young men that have been hunting, some older men that have been hunting, and you all know that you can't shoot the target if you don't aim. Now, of course, I'm not talking about using a gun. I'm talking about a camera. We don't shoot Bambi, do we? Unless it's with a camera. You can't shoot the target if you don't aim. And it is amazing to me, folks that do take their cameras out, how impressive the photographs that they can take with a camera. It can capture a moment in time, and there's some fabulous images. I don't know, most of you probably already know, but I didn't until just recently, about Brother Jim King, and you've been seeing some of his pictures up on the screen. He is phenomenal with the camera. This is one of his photos right there. And he caught this eagle in flight, and look at the feet. It's an unusual picture for an eagle. You usually see him tucked up and under, but he's got an interesting picture right here. It's amazing. But we all know that he could not have taken that picture unless he had aimed the camera. He had to point and he had to shoot. Here's some other pictures that Brother King has taken. And they're beautiful. Look at those birds. Now, what's interesting about taking a picture of a bird is they don't like you coming near them, and they've got wings and they like to get away. But he caught these birds sitting on a limb because he had his camera aimed and he took the shot. Someone said the secret to good photography is just take a lot of pictures. Well, he's taken a lot, and a lot of those are very, very good. Paul said, my aim is this. I made it my aim to preach the gospel. And he's talked about the Gentiles and how that his message is to the Gentiles so that they would be obedient. And that is where he is aiming. And that is extremely important, because when you look at what the church is about, it's about salvation. And the world needs the message of salvation. And that's what we are about. We are about being a body of Christ that sends forth the message to the world. When you look at that word aim that is used by the Apostle Paul here, it's a word that is rich in meaning. It means to be a lover. That's the first part of it, like Philadelphia. It's used a lot in Scripture, and that's the first part of the word. And then the latter part of the word is about that which is acknowledged honor, that which is worthy. And so when you put it all together, the meaning is this. It refers to pursuing or devoting oneself to what has great personal value. The SV translates the word aim, ambition. And that's a good word to put there. Paul is talking about something that is very, very, very valuable to himself and, of course, to God. He is making his personal ambition, his devotion to preach the gospel. And that is a great thing to think about, and particularly as a congregation. As we look to the year 2019, what should we do? We aim. And what do we aim to do? Do exactly what Paul did. Preach the gospel. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Well, why is that ministering or preaching the gospel, as Paul talks about, so important? Because that is, of course, what brings the necessary knowledge to people so they can be obedient to the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, it's my aim. And what is that aim? The world. And he points that out as you continue to read. But I want to note what he said in the first part of this book, in chapter 1, verse 15. He says, I am eager, as the SV translates that word. I'm eager, or I'm determined. I am ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And that was Paul's life. He was eager. He was anxious. It was his aim, his ambition, his goal to preach the gospel. But he tells us something about that preaching. He says, it's of necessity. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul knew the importance and the great value of declaring, bringing forth, heralding forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, when you think about that word gospel, if you don't know, that's simply a word which means good news. And folks, that's what we got, isn't it? We got the good news. We got the news that changes people's lives for the good and helps them to prepare for heaven, which will be an eternity of what is the best. And so truly, we do have the good news. And that's why Paul's aim was to preach the gospel so that disciples could be made. And he mentions that, or it's mentioned in Acts 14, verse 21. The goal, declare the gospel, the good news that will allow folks to have what they need in order to be obedient so that they can become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you look at Romans chapter 15, significant in this section of Scripture, in verse 20, he says, it's my aim, but he goes on. He says, my goal is to preach the gospel, but not where Christ was named. Not where Christ was named. What is he saying? Well, he wants to go where the gospel hasn't been heard yet. His mission is the Gentiles. The Gentiles refers to those heathen that were not Jews. It's his goal to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The word apostle means one sent. He wants to be the one sent to the Gentiles. Of course, that's the mission that he's been on. That's what was given to him from Christ. To declare the gospel to those who have not heard. And that was his desire. And his aim was the world. And he desired to bring that great message to the world. To preach the gospel, as verse 16 says, of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. He didn't want to go where somebody else was already working. Paul had his ambition, his aim, his desire, his goal, to go where the gospel had not been yet. He wanted to be there to bring them the message. And he was willing to die for that message. And that was truly what was valued to him, is to make sure that the gospel got to the world. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, we read these words, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. And he said then, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Of course, we know that the church is built on the foundation of Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. Then the apostles and prophets. And Paul was that apostle who was sent with the gospel to the Gentiles. But he didn't not want to build on somebody else's work. He wanted to go where he could build where the gospel had not been. Because he knew it was important to get the gospel to the world. That the world was lost and the world needed to hear that gospel. So he was willing and able and ready. And it was his aim, ambition, desire to go where the gospel needed to be preached. And here's what I want us to see tonight. Most of what I've said, many of you already know. And you understand it. And the message is comprehended. But here's something I want us to grasp. And probably you understand it as well. But I want us to make it real in our lives. Look at what he says, verse 21. But as it is written. He's going to point backwards to what was written in Isaiah 52 and verse 15. And he's going to grab a hold of that and he's going to state something that is very, very significant for you and I. But as it is written, he's appealing to what was written under inspiration by God, by the prophet, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. Now, as you look at this, do you read the word maybe? Might? Possibly? Or it could be? Do you see those words there? Not there, are they? What does he say? He says, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. Those who have not heard shall understand. You see what we have here? We have the promise of God that when the gospel is preached, there will be people who will obey the gospel of Christ. And that has been proven over 2,000 years. When the gospel is preached, there will be people who will hear it. They will understand it. They will obey it. And they will find their way to heaven because of somebody who has the aim, as the Apostle Paul, to preach the gospel to the world. Isn't that exciting? You see, we have a promise of God. We have a surety from God that the work that God has given us to do will work. It will be effective. It's not they may see. It's not they might see. It's not that they possibly might see. It's they shall. In other words, there is good fruit out there. There's good ground so that when the Word of God is sown, it's going to bring forth fruit. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Further, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospels, a door was opened to me by the Lord. When you read the book of Acts, you see clearly that the Almighty God is in control of the evangelism. For a long time, I have to admit this, I've learned a lot through life, and many of those have been hard knocks, you know, on the road of life. But I've learned, it's not me that brings about obedience to the gospel. It's God. Sometimes we want to take the world on our shoulders and say, okay, I'm going after the world. I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to do this. And then I run out to the end. It's not I. It's God. Paul says, a door was opened to me by the Lord. That's significant. Acts 16 verse 9, another example. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, this is in the first century. Paul was an inspired man. And God was working directly with him. Now we have the book, and so we've got the book to go, and we can read these words that can help us learn. But there, in the first century, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then we read, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now look at the conclusion. Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, sometimes you'll hear denominational preachers, they'll talk about being called to preach. Well, I have a telephone and I've been called to preach also by the phone. The kind of call that they're talking about is not the call that we're reading about here. What Paul is saying is that this is where the Lord wants us to be. Now, they may be trying to say the same thing, but the Lord's not talking to them like he did Paul. That was in the first century. And that's a good study if sometime you want to study that some more. But the point being here is that it's the Lord who's in control. Clearly, through the book of Acts, it was the Lord who was in control of evangelism. Now, why? Because God knows where the good soil is. He knows where the good hearts are. And when we look at what is going on in the first century, God had a plan to get the gospel to the whole world and do it quickly. And so He is helping with inspiration, with the miracles to confirm the Word, and with the actual movement of the preaching. And so what happens is you keep reading Acts 16. Lydia, she and her household were baptized because they preached the gospel. In Acts 16, 25 through 34, we have a Philippian jailer in his household. And then there were prisoners also who heard the gospel. So they were effective in doing what God wanted them to do by going to Macedonia to preach the gospel. God opened the door. And so what did Paul do? As a servant, he brought them the gospel. And what happens when the gospel? They shall see and they shall understand. And people obey the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul talks about this element of preaching, and it took me a while to learn this. I've read this passage a lot, but it just had not sunk in until a few years ago. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's talking about preaching, and he says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers. They're servants. Through whom you believe. Yes, they were instrumental in bringing them the gospel. But here's what Paul says. He says, I'm the sower. Bringing the gospel is to sow the seed. He plants, Apollos watered, but what's significant, look what he says. God gave the increase. For so long, I thought, well, if I just go out there and I do this, and if I try to sell the gospel like Amway, it's surely got to work because Amway works. Their philosophy was, back when I was involved in Amway, if you draw enough circles in enough places and to enough people, you'll have wealth untold. I was just trying to survive and make a living. Folks, preaching the gospel is not selling Amway. It's being a servant. Carry forth the gospel, and God's in control of that. If we do the job of planting, of watering, and that's teaching, preaching, sowing this word, notice what the scriptures declare. God gives the increase. And look what it says, and this kind of hits home to me once in a while, that neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters. And here I thought, I'm the preacher, I'm the teacher, I've got the knowledge, I can go out there and do it. It's not about me. Randy just this morning reminded me of that. It's not me. It's not I. It's God. But God gives the increase. He's the one in charge. He's the one who knows the hearts. And it's His will that people find the way who are seeking after righteousness. And so He says in verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. You know, we can put that seed in the ground and we can put water on it, but there's nothing you and I do that makes that seed come alive. It's God. And it's proven every day when we see these seeds pop up. It's amazing to me, like they find those seeds in the pyramids and the granaries in Egypt, and they take them out and they can plant them and they still grow. Explain that one. It's God. God is the one who gives the increase. And I want to share this with you. I don't want to confuse anybody, but I just want to give you the literal translation of verse 7. If you look at the original language, it was written in a language called Koine Greek, and then it was structured, and then it's translated, and that's what we read as English. But I want to give you the literal from word to word. And if you literally translate that, it's not much different than what we have. It doesn't read quite as easy, but I want you to see it. So neither the one planting is anything, nor the one watering, but look at this, but only the one giving grows. Hyphen. If you put that in there, it's not actually in the language, but the idea is that it separates the thought to point to God. Isn't that significant? Only the one giving grows. God. He's the one that's in charge. He's the Almighty. He is the great one who is in control. And we plant, we water, we sow the seed, but it's God who gives the increase. I want to challenge you to keep that thought in mind, that the gospel is successful in accomplishing its mission, and that it's God who gives the increase. And so therefore, as we look to 2019, our aim as a congregation is simply to do what? Sow the seed. And let God prove to us what He said. But then Paul goes on, verse 30. If you'll jump down there, we're going to skip a few verses. But look at Romans 15, verse 30. Paul says, now, I beg you. He's pleading. I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me. And look what he says. In prayers for me. Prayer is essential, isn't it, to His work? He wants these brethren involved in His life to the point of praying together with Him. And He doesn't just ask them. He says, I beg you, brethren. They strive together with me in prayers. Now, we can just pray when we bow our head and give thanks for food, or we can pray earnestly. Not that praying for food is not important, but we have a prayer life that's intense, praying without ceasing, continuously. And he says, you strive to gather with me in prayers to God for me. And what did he want the prayers about? That he would be able to, if you continue reading the chapter, to be able to keep preaching and accomplish his mission. And so this year, I want to challenge you to pray. To pray striving in prayer. Because you see, the congregation here has an aim. And that aim is to preach the gospel to the world. And it starts, of course, right here at Marshfield. And so I want to challenge you to think about praying daily for the church here at Marshfield. You'll see some numbers. There's 2019, you see that? And then if you add 40 years, it's 2059. I want to encourage you to pray for the church at Marshfield, that it will be stronger 40 years from now than it is today. That it will be successful in reaching lost souls. That this congregation will be a light to the world, not just the community, but to the world. And the church is already stepping out to the world and has been and has a great history of reaching out to the world. And I want you to pray about that. Pray for the success of our work, that we're reaching lost souls. Can we, with the Lord's blessing, have a number like 230 a year from now? We can. But what does it take? We have to strive together. Strive together and pray and ask God to do what He promises He will do. And that's give us the increase. When we step back, and I can say this from my experience, and there's some brethren here that can say the same thing. When we step back and we put it in God's hands, He's going to open the doors. I have seen it happen in my life and around those who have the same confidence. We've got to trust God. There are open hearts. He's shown that to us. And we say, God, help us to be your servant, to be your minister. And that's every one of us. And this morning, you are to be commended. The number of invites we had and the folks that we had here that came because you invited them is commendable. And God has shown us over and over again that He will bless us if we just do what He wants us to do. If we are His ministers, not just a preacher, ministers, servants. In His field. If we sow, God promises to give the increase. And of course, we must be constantly always reminded that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we have that confidence and that faith to believe in God, then He is going to bless us. So I encourage you and challenge you to pray daily, striving in prayer that God's will be done. And that's all we're asking, is for God's will to be done. That we strive together so that God can give the increase. I want to share with you one thing from Colossians as we close this lesson this evening that is significant. Colossians, written as one of the prison epistles to the church at Colossae, Paul writes these words. And this was probably written, I believe, in probably after 70 AD, right? If those of you that are scholars can and refresh my memory. But it was after 70 AD. The church was established in 33 AD approximately. And then past 70 AD, we have these epistles written. So somewhere between 68 and 80, if I remember correctly. And here's what's significant. Paul said these words, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, and notice what he says, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. What was his aim? To preach the gospel where it had not gone. And then he writes to the church at Colossae and says, look, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Now, it's possible that he was just looking as to what was going to be the results. Or it is also possible that he meant exactly and literally what he said. And someone says, well, how's that possible? Folks weren't even going all over the world. Whoa. We learn now they had been. And there's evidence that apostles went to different places in the world, even America, preaching. Was it possible for them to go to the entire world? Who's in control, remember? The great and powerful God of heaven. So was Paul looking forward, or was he saying this has happened? Well, when you look at the passage, what is he saying? The gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. How could that be possible? With God, all things are possible. And God can bless us as well. And so I beg you to please pray as we look to 2019. This morning, we offered the invitation. We're going to do so this evening. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, this is what Paul was preaching that changed people's lives. He preached the gospel, the good news, so that when people heard it, they had what was they needed to believe that Jesus was the Christ, to repent of their sins, make that change in their life by determination, and then have that willingness to say, I truly believe, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and then to be baptized in water for remission of sins. So they can live faithfully as servants of God. And tonight, you can do the same thing. You can obey the same gospel they did over 2,000 years ago. And you can become a New Testament Christian. And so tonight, we're going to stand. Jeff's going to lead us in a song of invitation. If we can help you, then just make your way down front. We'll be glad to assist you. Or if we can study with you, if you've got questions, let us know. We would love to do that as well. But tonight, think about where you are with the Almighty. As we stand and sing, would you come?